Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle, and you are listening to our HR podcast where we talk about HR trends, HR tech, and HR data. But first, I just want to remind you who we are. Some of you know us, but some of you don't. And for those who don't, we are your people dashboard specifically built for small and medium companies that's helping all of you HR and people leaders out there who have dealt with waiting to the night before to try to put together an HR dashboard or spreadsheet or report for your CEO or CFO or whoever you're looking to put this report for. It was painful. It was time consuming. It was tedious. You probably had to pull a bunch of messy, crappy spreadsheets from all your different HR systems, and you just had to think there was a better way. Well, there is. Because you have Employee Cycle, your people dashboard that has pre-built API connectors to all the most popular HR systems out there that you're using. Systems like Bamboo HR, namely ADP, Trinet, Greenhouse, Lever, 15.5, Reflective, you name it. We automatically pull all that data into one dashboard so you can view, track, share, and analyze all your data from one place. Check us out at employeecycle.com to get your demo and to also receive a 14-day free trial. But that's enough about me and our product, because today we have an awesome guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Mark McDonald. He's the head of people at Luxury Presence. And today we're going to discuss how to operate as a remote first workforce in 2021. Mark, welcome to the show.
Woo! Mark, welcome!
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thanks for being here. So, Mark, we're going to get this thing started the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Yeah. So I started off working in early stage startups, and I kind of grew throughout different types of roles. I started off in recruiting, started to manage, then ended up in strategy and operation. So I got to see a lot of the business, and at the core of who I am is I love building things and helping people. And I actually transitioned to Luxury Presence after taking some time off and reflecting on, you know, what I really wanted to do with my career and then specifically spend my time. And I found Luxury Presence and Malte Kramer, who's the CEO and founder here, was really inspired by his vision and thought it was a tremendous opportunity to join a startup that was really going to have an opportunity to be a big, amazing company and make an impact. And I actually joined the company as the interim CEO. And during that time, for the first year, I really focused on building the company and hiring. And I saw that there was so much opportunity to improve hiring that I participated in previously at startups I'd worked with. And I think is kind of the norm of, you know, early stage startups. Hiring often becomes the 1B priority when it really should be 1A. And so that's how I kind of transitioned here into the head of people when Malte came back from business school and continued as the CEO. And the hiring has now evolved into a really holistic look at people operations, as we call it here at Luxury Presence.
Awesome. Thanks for that background. So today we're discussing how to operate as a remote workforce in 2021. So tell us a little bit about where your company was during COVID, especially at the end of 2020, so we can transition into where you are 2021, specifically around remote. Was your company already remote? Was it flexible where it was part-time remote, part-time in the office? Did you have people working in different areas where people might have been working out of WeWorks or from home? What did that look like?
Yeah, so right around, you know, the beginning of 2020, our company was around 80% in the office, which is located here in Santa Monica, California. And then 20% were remote. And we had a pod in Denver, and we had actually started building out a sales and client-facing pod in Austin, but we had yet to secure office space there. So we were beginning to look at WeWorks, and you know, it was good in the way that we already had this kind of remote culture it's intertwined with the business. We offered work from home Fridays before. So everyone at the company was used to what it means to work from home. And we already had all the software set up, you know, Slack, Monday, Gusto, all softwares that we use, HubSpot, Front, all of those softwares became increasingly important when we lost the opportunity to be with each other in the office. So it was an easier transition for us to make. And we made it early, and we decided that if we're gonna, we don't want to be reactive to what's going on with things that we cannot control. So let's be proactive and let's switch to a remote first workforce going forward.
So what do you find to be the biggest difference between where you were before and now being a remote first workforce? What are some of the things that you had to change in order for this new way of working to really be accommodating for your company, but then also all your employees?
Yeah, I think it's important to include what being a remote workforce in the year of 2020 means, because there's so much that's happened this year that has impacted, you know, people in America, whether it's COVID, Black Lives Matter, the political climate, and all of these things are obviously intertwined and connected. But with that, you create this remote workforce, and then you also have this kind of lack of control and anxiety that people feel about what's going on in the world around them. There's so many things that that they can't make decisions about like they used to. So we felt it was really important to provide as much transparency as we could, to over communicate and to provide employees for what's next and what can they expect. So we could at least be a source of consistency and really kind of transparency and make them feel like, you know, their job and their output was something that was in their control.
When it comes to being remote first, it seems as though you have to be a lot more intentional with everything that you're doing, a lot more intentional with creating boundaries from not creating burnout for employees, because if there's nowhere to go and nothing to do, although it seems like people would say, oh, well, we can watch TV or do all these things. Instead, it seems like a lot of people are opting to do more work. And so how do you become more intentional about meetings, how many meetings you have, or how often people are on Slack, or how often you're checking in with people, or how often managers are having one-on-ones? What does that look like? And what does intentionality really have to do with being a remote-first company?
Yeah, it's a good question, Bruce, and it stems from our culture at Luxury Presence. You know, we don't have any rules on how long employees should work or really the hours that, you know, someone's required to put in during a week. What we do have is we have so we're in California, so we're Pacific time, and we have employees all over the country. So what we did was we put in collaborative hours that everyone's required to be online from 10 to 3 p.m. Pacific time. And those hours are where a lot of, you know, Slack communication, video conferencing, team meetings occur, so that people across the country can meet together at a reasonable time. So that was one way that we created intention around remote work. Another way is that you know, there was a lot of communication early on about how to set up your remote workspace. So I'm a big believer in that. You know, everywhere that you kind of spend time throughout your day has a specific place, and that if you sit down to work, it should be at a desk, and that's where you work, at the desk, and you sleep in your bed, and you eat at your table. So really trying to allow people to set up home work offices. We created a stipend that where we let employees pick out desks and chairs, and it's offered to everyone that we onboard, so they can create a comfortable workspace at home. And then we put on rules around communication as well. So anything that requires a response within 3 hours, you can message in on Slack. Anything over that should be communicated in email. And those are just some basic rules, and they're applicable. I won't go into great detail, but across our other platforms like Monday and Front. But then it creates this culture of like consistently pinging people and knocking them off of deep work, which is another thing that we instituted is time blocks that people put on their calendar where they can do deep work. So every team is really able to create autonomy into their different cadence. Like being an engineer is a lot different than being a salesperson to kind of how long you have to be heads down and focused to get into that deep work. But, you know, at the core of the culture of Luxury Presence, it's creating autonomy for our employees to make the best decisions for themselves so that they can create the best output for themselves and for the company.
So one of the things that our audience really likes about our podcast is we try to make sure that they leave with some tangible steps after an interview. So because you've already went through this process, if there was a 1, 2, 3 step process of going remote first from not being remote first, what would that look like? And if we were looking at 3 chunks, I guess, how would you think about, you know, creating the strategy and then getting buy-in and then execution?
Good question. So I think it starts off with communication. And this is where we really started and invested a lot of time early on. There were many hours that the executive team spent together first figuring out what our response was going to be to the changing economic climate and the potential, you know, impact that it had on our business. And we created 3 different potential scenarios, an upside, a likely, and a downside. And we made initial cuts kind of right away where we said, okay, let's get the business as lean as we can so that everyone that's at the business going forward can feel like they have a job that's going to be there for them in this time of uncertainty. We also, you know, got up front about we're going fully remote. So this is what it means for you going forward. We created a remote workbook that basically told employees, you know, or I guess helped educate employees on how to set up that remote workspace, best practices for working remote, communication. And then we've kept that high level of communication. We've committed a lot more resources to our all hands, and it's really a point of bonding where we can bring everyone back into the company and create something consistently every month that people come back to. So I think that's important, is creating those moments where people feel connected to the whole company, because what you can create during these times is some isolation between teams and lack of cross collaboration. You know, it's not like the engineer, you know, someone from the engineering team and someone from the sales team can go to the water cooler and have a conversation anymore. It doesn't happen organically. So some other things we've done around that are create happy hours with teams. They're not focused on, you know, having drinks and socializing. There are things like bingo, guess the baby picture, trivia contests, and they've been really well received and really fun, and like a good break from the monotony of work and quarantine. And then we've also created lunch and learns, which are virtual as well, but something that, you know, we can invest in our employees by bringing in personal finance experts or a board member, an investor, talk about, you know, why they invested in the company and create improved morale around, you know, where we're going and what we're building. So really kind of that communication is the first thing I would focus on. The communication and really creating those bonds that you lose from not being in the office together. Secondly, I'd make sure that you have the right tech stack to facilitate a remote workforce. Think about, you know, shared drives. You know, we use Google Drive softwares and trying to figure out which ones are best fit to stretch across the company and the different teams. Like, we use 2 different project management tools because Jira is a better fit for our engineering team. but Monday sits on other teams across the company. And then lastly is accountability. So I want to bring that back to the all hands. So we send out a weekly report on progress every Monday. Our CEO sends it out to the company to let them, to let everyone know how we're performing against goals after a week's time. And then at the all hands, we report on the monthly progress. And we started, rolling out OKRs for the company in Q4, and are now transitioning in 2021 to OKRs all the way down to the individual contributor. And we're using 7Es to roll that out so that there's a level of kind of accountability, transparency, and also letting people know exactly what they should be focused on achieving in the next quarter and year. And again, that comes back to that theme of control and kind of focus in times of uncertainty.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing all of that insightful information and context of how you actually transition to a remote first workforce, because so many people are trying to do it and they're looking for community to understand it. So thank you for sharing your insight and everything that you're doing, and Happy New Year. So Mark, thanks for being on the podcast.
Woo! Go Mark!
Thanks, Bruce.
Where can we find you and Luxury Presence online?
Yeah, so our website's luxurypresence.com, LuxuryPresence.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Mark McDonald.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to put all that contact info in the show notes. So for all you listeners out there, if you enjoyed this interview as much as Mark and I did making it, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Also, if you would like to hear more episodes like this awesome interview, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major podcast players. And last but not least, all you awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.